Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
America's Open Arms. But some of the huddled masses may have found here an ideal place for launching international terrorism.
A Channel 2 Action News investigation delves into terror allegations involving the leader of a group with two compounds or villages here in Georgia.
For years, sketchy local reports of shadowy groups, the occasional indictment and prosecution, and now a disturbing arrest in Chicago. Did America's golden door open for a man who helped plan India's bloody Mumbai terror attacks? Terrorism yearning to breathe free. An alleged jihadi grows up on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Hello, everyone. It's Tuesday, December 8th, where The Takeaway this morning is considering how favorable the climate in the United States might actually be to homegrown terror cells. Celeste?
You know, this story just calls up a ton of questions. If the United States is a favorable place for people to create the kind of terror cells you're talking about, wasn't it always? Huh? That would be my first question. We're also going to have an update on the abortion issue that's been holding up health care reform, and all the news from Iran, Pakistan, and Baghdad, where violence continues this morning.
Let's get right to it. A coordinated series of car bombs ripped through Baghdad this morning, leaving at least 100 dead, more than 115 wounded. All of the bombs exploded near government buildings or universities. Iraq's national security advisor, Mulfaq al-Rubai, tells our partner, the BBC, that al-Qaeda in Iraq is responsible.
There is no doubt that the blueprint of all these car bombs this morning in Baghdad is the act of al-Qaeda in Iraq.
We'll go live to Baghdad in just a moment. Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, Defense Secretary Robert Gates met with President Hamid Karzai this morning and stressed the U.S. commitment to winning the war there. And this comes as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Mike Mullen told Marines in South Carolina to expect a tough year.
Given the additional troops as it was this last summer, I am sure that we will sustain an increased level of casualty.
Violence in Pakistan this morning as well. A building belonging to the Pakistani intelligence agency came under rocket and grenade attack this morning. 12 people confirmed dead there. And we've already mentioned it. A Chicago resident has been charged with being a scout for the terrorists who carried out the attacks in Mumbai last year. Federal prosecutors say David Headlee, who was arrested last month for plotting to attack a Danish newspaper, went to Mumbai five times, videotaping targets and traveling the same route the terrorists would later take. For more details, we're joined now by Carrie Johnson, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning.
So, Carrie, it appears as though growing up in the United States was a bit of a help to David Coleman Headlee in carrying out what is alleged he did.
For sure. Headlee is something of an enigma. He is an American who spent many of his formative years in Pakistan, traveling back and forth, once serving as an informant for the DEA, we now know, and finally turning into something of an advanced man for various jihadist plots.
Well, how and why he did that will be the subject of our conversation in just a moment. Stay with us, Carrie. A more in-depth look in just a moment.
Later this morning, President Obama will lay out new steps to boost job creation. For funding, he's expected to turn to the TARP program.
TARP has turned out to be much cheaper than we had expected, although not cheap.
And we have new rules on greenhouse gases from the EPA. The administrator there, Lisa Jackson, says new rules are going to pave the way for regulation of carbon dioxide emissions. The announcement puts pressure on Congress to act before the EPA does. During day two of the Copenhagen talks, experts have described this decade as very likely the warmest on record. Asian markets ended down with European indices higher in early trading. Futures are mixed as the Dow opens at 10,390 and the S&P opens 3 points above 1,100. The Nasdaq will start out at 2189.
Coming up, are you looking forward to your company holiday party? Some bad news there. And we'll discuss how the economic slump is affecting some companies' seasonal shindigs. That's later this hour.
You've been really helpful in helping us paint America's job landscape. We're going to you again, this time about temp workers. Are you turning to more contract and freelance workers if you're an employer? Or if an employee, are you doing multiple temp jobs to cover the bills?
Freelancing is not a party.
My take.
That's right.
That's right.
It's
my take at thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. This morning, terrorism, terror allegations, and political unrest dominate the news from Chicago to the other side of the world. Explosions in Baghdad this morning kill nearly 100, actually more than 100, according to the latest reports. Bombings in Pakistan kill more than 50 as terrorists attack a market and the offices of Pakistan's security services. And violent political unrest in Iran continues for a second day across campuses throughout that country. And yesterday, we already mentioned a Chicago man, an American citizen named David Coleman Headley, was charged with helping plot the 2008 terrorist attacks in Mumbai, India. Those attacks, a little over a year ago, left 163 people dead and many more seriously injured. What does it mean? How is this arrest an example of something afoot in terrorist trends in the U.S.? That discussion in just a moment. But first, joining us is Stephen Lee Myers, Baghdad bureau chief for the New York Times. Stephen Lee Myers, what can you say about the claim of responsibility in these attacks in Baghdad that it appears now have killed more than 100 people?
At the moment, we don't have any claim of responsibility, but what we've seen is typical of the previous attacks that we've seen in Baghdad targeting government ministries. There was a coordinated series of bombings, five in all, targeting various sites around the city, including at least one university, a courthouse in western Baghdad, a mosque, a market.
Stephen Lee Myers in Baghdad, who is the bureau chief for the New York Times, we seem to have lost his line there. We should note that the attacks in Baghdad this morning are timed with an apparent political rapprochement among political leaders in Iraq to pave the way for elections. But whether it's specifically timed to react to those political developments yesterday, we don't know. Again, Stephen Lee Myers was there just a moment ago, Baghdad bureau chief for the New York Times. Joining us now is Carrie Johnson, who was with us a moment ago. She's national security correspondent for The Washington Post with details on that Chicago story we were talking about. Also joining us is Art Keller, former case officer with the CIA. Art served in Pakistan in this decade in 2006. Carrie, welcome back, and let's talk a little bit about you described David Headley as something of an enigma. How does he stand out from other investigations that we've heard about over the last few years?
Well, mostly, John, because he's an American citizen who traveled freely throughout this country, lived in several different cities, including Philadelphia, New York, and Chicago, operating mostly under the law enforcement radar for most of his 49 years of life. And it's only in October of this year when he was arrested at Chicago's O'Hare Airport on the way for yet another meeting with his handlers in Pakistan that he was taken into custody, where he's been held for a couple months now. We now understand helping authorities get to the bottom of some of these plots in Pakistan and India.
And let's just recall for our listeners, he has been charged, according to an indictment unsealed in Chicago, with helping plot the 2008 terrorist attacks in Mumbai, India. But you describe in your reporting he's had a long relationship with various federal agencies, including the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration.
That's right. He became an informant for the DEA after an arrest in the 90s. And up until 98, was apparently helping them in order to reduce his prison term.
And, you know, what does this say about the targeting of investigations in the United States? And, you know, since 9/11, we've been told that there are various terror cells unearthed in places around the country. I mean, this seems to stand out as very, very different from the kinds of freelance operations we've heard about in the past.
Yeah, on many occasions, investigators have focused their fire on small ragtag bands of would-be terrorists who really didn't have the means to carry out any kind of attack on their own, but maybe were caught in sting operations by the FBI and other law enforcement agencies in the United States. In recent months, we've had David Coleman Headley and also Najibullah Zazi, the young man who operated in the Denver area and also in New York,
right,
who appear to have very tight contacts overseas, particularly in Pakistan, where there are several different movements, very dangerous movements of terrorists, and also appear to have the means to carry out attacks. In the Headley case, he's charged, in fact, with helping to aid and abet the murder of six Americans last year in Mumbai in attacks that ultimately killed up to 170 people there.
It's a very interesting case. We're talking with Carrie Johnson, who's a national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Art Keller, counter-espionage is nothing new, but what does it mean if federal informants are actually agents for organizations like Al-Qaeda, or in this case, Lashkar-e-Taiba, the anti-Indian terrorist group, the Pakistani-based anti-Indian terrorist group? Art?
Well, for one thing, it means someone may have missed the forest for the trees and looking past just the narrow application of, is this person going to help us on counter narcotics, to what is his other affiliations, and why have they been dealing in Pakistan, going to Pakistan, trying to smuggle heroin, as it were, into the United States, which is what first got him on the DEA's radar, drug trafficking being a standard revenue source for terrorists.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the issue I raised at the top of the hour. I mean, is it possible that the whole give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free approach of the United States regarding immigrants creates a favorable environment in that, forget the training camps in dusty Afghanistan, if you've got access to the internet and a U.S. passport and can travel around the world, you're of great use to a terrorist organization?
Well, I would definitely concur with that, and that's kind of one of the disturbing questions here. One of Mr. Headley's partners, Tahawar Rana, runs an immigration service, and so part of the question has to be, we know that Lashkar-e-Taiba, one of the groups that he is affiliated with, has helped al-Qaeda. You have to ask the question in reverse. Has Mr. Rana or Mr. Headley helped al-Qaeda get people into the U.S. under the cover of that immigration agency?
Well, let's pose that to Kerry Johnson. I mean, is it possible that this investigation is continuing on precisely those questions, Kerry Johnson of The Washington Post?
It's not only possible. U.S. Attorney in Chicago, Pat Fitzgerald, who's known to many of us for investigating Scooter Libby during the last administration, yesterday said this investigation is active and ongoing, and in a strategy that law enforcement does not often pursue. He made quite clear that Headley has been cooperating with authorities for many weeks now, and this case is not even close to being finished.
And can they believe anything he says if they've worked with him as an informant in the past? That you have to ask that question, right, Kerry?
You do. However, in many cases over the years, including cases involving La Cosa Nostra, as long as there's enough corroboration, other witnesses, documentary evidence and the like, to back up the statements of somebody who's already admitted guilt in, say, a murder or a terrorist plot, authorities generally feel confident presenting that to a jury.
Oh, great stuff. Kerry Johnson, national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Art Keller, very quickly, is this a historic turning of the page of a terror homegrown in the United States, really quickly?
Certainly, and for the same reason that Kerry Johnson stated, this was this was the nature of the organization was very well put together. You know, the affiliation with both Lashkar-e-Taiba and another one, Harkat al-Jihad al-Islami, which is also very closely affiliated with al-Qaeda.
Details we will definitely keep in focus. Art Keller, former case officer with the CIA, served in Pakistan in 2006. Thanks for that. And now at 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look back at the headlines.
As we've been hearing, more than 100 people have been killed in a series of car bombings across the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. Iraq's national security advisor has told our partner, the BBC, that al-Qaeda in Iraq was behind the bombings. We don't have any claim yet of responsibility. In health news, the American Cancer Society has a new report out that says cancer deaths overall in the United States have been dropping. New cases of all types of cancer fell from 1999 to 2006. Cancer expert Dr. Michael Fish says the drop in cancer deaths can be linked to early detection.
I think it's very encouraging information, and it pretty much confirms that screening and early detection can make an enormous difference.
Overall, cancer rates are still higher for men than for women. And the Environmental Protection Agency says there is compelling evidence that global warming from man-made greenhouse gases endangers American health. They are promising some new restrictions on that. It could be a concrete step from the United States as it takes part in the UN's Global Climate Conference in Copenhagen.
A U.S. envoy is in North Korea in hopes of getting the North Koreans back to stalled international talks on ending its nuclear program. Stephen Bosworth will lead those bilateral talks. Coming up, AOL is on its own again. It's soon going to break from its merger with Time Warner. So what's in store for them going it alone? Probably couldn't be worse than the merger. Coming up.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.